Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It is so good to be back in Madeira. And I don't know how many years it's been since we've come for the Memorial Day weekend. I think about 8 years. I don't know, maybe nine. But I tell you what, we enjoy coming. We enjoy coming to be with you. We really do love your pastor and his family, and these are great folks, and of course, my good friend, Brother Garza, and I just enjoy his fellowship and enjoy being with him and his knowledge of the Word of God, his love for this truth, and I tell you, my, wow, I was hearing about the great revival that you all were having, and I come here tonight, and I see a lot of new faces, praise the Lord, and it's always good to see old faces too. Yeah, and when you come to a church about a year later, that's what you want to see. You want to see old faces and new faces, and it's so good to see all the new faces and the spirit that's in this church. Revival's still here. Y'all know that? Revival is still here. Amen. And it feels good, praise the Lord. And I was praying on the platform before service, it was such a good sound of prayer and a good spirit of prayer. Amen. And God has really been good to y'all. And I was rejoicing when I was hearing about, you know, what God was doing here. And thank God for what he's doing. And we were in revival the last 5 weeks, and we had one get the Holy Ghost, amen, one get baptized, so we thank the Lord for that, hallelujah. But our revival was with Brother David Carlson, you know, to preach with the two little boy twins, y'all know who that is. And, every service he preached to the church. Amen. Every service. But thank God there was a lady that was hungry for God and wanted God in her life, and she got the Holy Ghost. And we're so glad of that. Amen. Well, it is so good to be here. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. Amen. We have prayed much about these services and praying for direction and, you know, what God would have, and so I believe we got the mind of the Lord tonight, but we'll get to that in a minute. I guess I will sing a couple songs. Brother Garza said we do have a brand new CD. It just came out last Friday. That's pretty new, isn't it? And so we sold a few to our church, and they really like it. And it's a group called Apostolic Voice, and so it's got a mixture of apostolic boys in it and some young ladies in it. And so I'm gonna sing a couple songs from that CD, and I've sung them here before, but we've never had them recorded, and so now we've got them recorded, and I can't sing them as good as they do on a CD. So y'all just bear with me tonight. Amen. But that'll be available. I've got another new CD that came out in November, and that one's got different apostolic artists on it. And apostolic boys are on it, and then some other apostolic artists are also on it. And that's a very good CD, so that'll be available too. And then it seems like every time I come, I always got a shortage of I'm Proud to Be Called a One God Christian CD. Well, I got a few of those this time, so if you've been wanting to get one, they'll be available. Praise the Lord. So, amen. Y'all worship. Amen as we sing tonight. Praise God.
Joy of sweet salvation. glory from my head now to my feet, and I know it was the blood saving me. Just to know my blessed Savior. He reached way down from heaven's throne to me. There is not a single death to hold against me. The price was fully paid.
Singing to those are the actual singers in our group singing with me. So praise the Lord. And this next song, amen, I've sang here before too, but I thank God for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen. When resurrection power comes in you by the Holy Ghost, that means death has got to die. Hallelujah. Death has got to die. I'm glad we're living tonight. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you see, this song talks about, the Bible says that if Jesus did not rise up from the dead, that there would be no hope. Amen. I got to sit down with a Muslim that came visiting our church, and she was just trying to check out churches. I sat down to witness to her, and I told her, I said, the difference between Christianity and every other religion is that our God, the one God, clothed himself in flesh and came down to the world and lived a life without sin. He died just like every man. He was buried just like every man. But the one thing he did that no other man ever did was he raised up from the dead and he lives forevermore. There's no other religion in the world, hallelujah, that can claim that. Our God, our Messiah, our Savior, hallelujah, he raised up from the dead, and he lives forevermore. Glory, hallelujah. Amen, amen. And so, when you walk by other prophets of other religions, you'll see that they're still dead. But thank God, our Savior, he lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I walked by
the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. I traveled on to see Muhammad. He was still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that grave. If you did like I know him, you would know that he's alive. If you felt him like I feel him, resurrection, the inside, you'll know he's living, and death has died. If you're wandering in the darkness, come and stare into the light. Nail-scarred hands reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. And I too have stood where you stand. Could I trust in things unseen? But just one step in his direction, and then in love he ran to me. If you knew him like I know him, you would know. Sing it a whole lot better than I did. Hallelujah. That's a powerful song. Amen. A powerful song. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank God for his goodness tonight. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and turn to the word of the Lord. Thank you again, Pastor Garza, for inviting me to come again. And we certainly hope we can be a blessing and a help in these services. My wife will, she'll be here tomorrow night after church. And so, she's getting a late start. But she'll be here late tomorrow night, praise the Lord. And so, be glad to have her here. Amen. Now, let me warn you. We've been in revival for 5 weeks, so I haven't preached in over a month. So, if I have to get warmed up here, you kind of know where I'm coming from. So, I haven't preached in over a month. So, so we'll see. Now, I've taught, but I haven't preached. Amen. So, hallelujah. So, if I sound like an amateur tonight, then you know why. Hallelujah. Amen. But, and what I have tonight is, I don't have a great, what you call would be a great message, a great depth or anything like that tonight, but just something simple. Amen. And is what I feel. And so, praise the Lord. I hope this simple message can help somebody tonight. But St. Mark, the book of Mark chapter 1 and verse number 16, chapter 1 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Amen. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you. I will make you to become fishers of men. Praise the Lord. No, this is not going to be an evangelistic message on winning the lost. Amen. Although I may say some things about it. But I want to take the phrase where Jesus said, I will make you become. I will make you become. And this message I want to preach tonight is called an intrinsic change. An intrinsic change. Jesus was going to change them to make them become fishers of men. Amen. And so I want to preach tonight on an intrinsic change. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Garza, would you pray? Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the word intrinsic, it means belonging to the real nature of a thing. It's not dependent on external or external circumstances. Essential is inherent. Amen. Belonging to the real nature of a thing is real and is not dependent upon external circumstances. That's what the word intrinsic means. And Jesus was to take these men who were fishermen and change them to become fishers of men. Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. And in order for this change to take place, amen, it took a sacrifice and a commitment on these men's part. Praise God. The sacrifice was that they forsook their nets. Amen. They left their nets. This was their livelihood. Amen. This was their occupation. Amen. This is how they made a living. Amen. And they were willing to drop their nets, leave their nets, and follow Jesus. Amen. By doing so, they were showing a commitment to him. Praise the Lord. They trusted him. They had faith in him. And in order for this change to take place in them, it took a sacrifice, it took commitment, and it took faith. Amen. It took these three things, a sacrifice, amen, and then that they were to let down their nets or drop their nets and leave them behind, leave their occupation, leave their livelihood, and commit themselves to this man, Jesus Christ. Amen. And they will also have to have faith in him. Amen. They had to have faith. If there is going to be a change in us, then we must go about it the same way. Amen. If there's going to be a change in us, we're going to have to make a sacrifice. We're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to give up things that mean a whole lot to us. We're going to have to give up things, praise God, that, hey, we may not want to give up. Amen. But we're going to have to make a sacrifice. Amen. A sacrifice is still a part of living for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Unless we sacrifice, amen, then we're not giving up the things that we need to give up. We're still holding on. We can't hold on to the world. We can't hold on to our old nature. We can't hold on, amen, to our old ways. We can't hold on to those things. We've got to be willing to let them go. Amen. We've got to be willing to sacrifice our money, sacrifice our time. Amen. We may even have to sacrifice relationships sometimes. Hallelujah. But the main thing is that, hey, if there's going to be a change in us, then we're going to have to give up some things. Amen. Now, some things may not have to be given up permanently, but they may have to be given up for a period of time. Amen. So we can spend more time with God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, you got to sacrifice some sleep sometime. Sacrifice, amen, some of your time. So you can spend more time with God. Amen. There's a sacrifice that's got to be there. Amen. It takes commitment. Amen. It takes commitment. Amen. To where we're not up and down and in and out in our service to the Lord. Amen. We're not up and down and in and out of church and attending church and our prayer and worship and praise. Amen. But we're consistent. We're dependable. We're reliable because we're committed. We're committed to the Savior. We're committed to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to be in and out and up and down with my attitude and with my spirit, but I'm going to be committed to God. I'm firmly going to make a commitment and say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. As for me and my house, hallelujah, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. Amen. A lot of people like to come to church. They like to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. They like the worship. They like all of that. Amen. But they just don't want to seem to make a commitment. Amen. We have them all the time. They come to church and, oh, they cry and they weep. The presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God, the anointing that's there. They cry and they weep and they enjoy the presence and they feel the conviction and all of that. Amen. But then they never come back because they don't want to make that commitment to God. Amen. They don't want to make that sacrifice. They know, hallelujah. Amen. Who was it? Praise God. When Paul was telling them, Paul was witnessing to them, and he felt the conviction, and he said, "Come back more at a more convenient time." Why? Because he thought about the temperance. He thought about the commitment. He thought about all that he would have to do. And when people think about that, amen, there's a lot of things they don't want to give up. They don't want to sacrifice. And don't want to make a commitment. But I hope we got some people here in this church tonight. Amen. You're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to commit your life. You're willing to commit yourself to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It must also take faith. It took faith in him. Amen. That he would provide. Praise God. He would provide, amen, for them if they left their nets, if they left their occupation, if they went to follow him. Hallelujah. Amen. That had to have faith in him that he would provide for them. Praise the Lord. That the change, amen, had to take place. Praise God. When you commit yourself to God and you make the sacrifice, you've got to have faith in God that he is going to provide and that the change in you will be better. It will make you better. Hallelujah.
faith that his joy is better than the joys that you get out of the world, than the joys that you get out of the natural life, that the joys that you get out of the world, amen, in all of this environment, in all of your environment. Oh, remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. You look at a lot of people, pray, that are discouraged. They're in despair. They're stressed out. Where's the joy? Where's the joy? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. When you come to the house of God, you don't need to be sad. You don't need to be discouraged. Amen. You're in the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. You feel the Holy Ghost. You feel the chill bumps up and down your spine. Amen. You feel the joy, amen, in his presence. You want to praise him. You want to worship him. Hallelujah. There ain't no better place to be than in the house of God. Oh, glory. God is a jealous God. And if you exert yourself on the ball field, you exert yourself on the tennis court, you exert yourself on the volleyball court, more than you exert yourself in the church house, God is a jealous God. If you get more joy out of playing sports than you do when you come to the house of God, God is a jealous God. If you can run around playing ball, but you can't run around the aisles, God is a jealous God. Oh, glory! Get rid of that pride! Get rid of that shame! Get rid of that fear! Hallelujah! And allow God to put some joy down deep in your heart! Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Amen! So, when we commit ourselves to God, we find out, hey, there's a whole lot more joy in this than it is in the world. Whole lot more joy in this than sin. Whole lot more joy in this than living like I want to live. This is a clean joy. This is a pure joy. This is a holy joy. It's not filthy. It's not perverted. It's clean. It's holy. It's pure. Hallelujah. That's the kind of joy we're talking about when we talk about the joy that's in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You get joy out of sin, that's a perverted joy. I said, you get joy out of lusting, that's a perverted joy. Oh, yeah. You get joy out of dressing ungodly and showing off your butt, that's a perverted joy. That's a harlot joy. That's lust. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this, amen, when you commit yourself, you make the sacrifice and you have faith in God, he can make a change. I said, he can make a change. Hallelujah. He's going to make them become fishers of men. He had to make them become, he had to change them for them to become this. Amen. Luke 14 and 26 is this. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Now the word hate here does not mean to literally hate, but it means to love less. God does not want us hating our family, but it's got to be understood that God is commanding you to love them less than you love God. If family is coming into town and we got church, we show our love to God more than our family. We're going to church. And if the family don't want to go with you, there's food in the refrigerator. There's food in the cupboard. Make yourself at home. We'll see you after church. Why? Because unless you hate your mother, hate your father, hate your sister, hate your brother, you can't be his disciple. You got to love them less. When you love God more, that means you love the things of God more. You love church more. You love faithfulness more. You love worship more. You love the presence of God more. Amen. You love the things of God more. Amen. When people have to act right and do right in order for you to be happy, or things have got to go the way you want them to go in order for you to be happy, then you can get ready for a miserable life. Because it ain't going to happen. God designed it for it to be that our joy and our happiness must be in him. Not in situations, not in circumstances, and not in people. If people got to act right in order for you to be happy, it ain't going to happen. If every circumstance and situation has got to be favorable for you to be happy, it's not going to happen. God's not looking for that circumstantial happiness. He's not looking for that happiness, amen, whereas everything's got to go right just like you want it. No, the happiness and that joy has got to be in him. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, and he's got a great church, great preacher. I mean, wow. He's got a good family. He's got everything going for him. Heard him say that there were some times when he got real lonely. Got great friends, great fellowship. And he wondered why he felt so lonely. You know why? He said, because God told him, he said, because, hey, I don't want you just to be happy with everything you have. I want you to be happy with me. I want you to spend some time with me. When was the last time God just made you happy? Not because he did something, oh, but just because you felt his presence. Just because he came in that car when you were driving. He came to you on the job, hallelujah, when you were sitting at the desk, or amen, or maybe you were out doing something, and the presence of the Lord just hit you, amen, and he didn't give you a raise on the job, he didn't give you more money, amen, he didn't get you out of a trial, amen, or all nothing, he just came to be good to you by his presence. It wasn't a circumstantial joy. It wasn't because something went right. It wasn't because God did something, amen, to make me happy. It was all because of his presence, his spirit, amen, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, that just came to me in a lonely time, hallelujah, amen. It didn't take a phone call from somebody. It didn't take a brother or sister calling me to encourage me. It didn't take the pastor calling. Oh, no, but it was just the presence of the Lord. So he said, yeah, I want to be your joy. I want to be your happy. You know, sometimes God wants that. Amen. But we're so wired to have circumstantial joy. Circumstances got to be right. Situations got to be right. People got to be acting right. How many times has that happened in your life? Where everything was going right at the same time? Not quite, huh? Praise God. Amen. Because it can't be that our situations and circumstances with people, family, and finances, amen, got to be all right for us to feel good, for us to have joy. Those things in life will always be up and down. They'll always be up and down. There's no consistency in any of that. Amen? But there is consistency in God. And in order to be his disciple, which is a student of Jesus, you've got to love him more than anything and anybody else, including your own life also. Hallelujah. As his disciple, he will change you to be what his will is to be for your life. Amen. How many want God's will? Amen. Well, that's what Ephesians 5 and 17 says. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, but understand. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. It's not wise to do everything you want to do. It's not wise to be selfish and only think about yourself. It's not wise to put all your happiness in one person or situation. It's not wise to miss church or get out of church. It's not wise to rebel and rise up against authority. It's not wise to live by your own opinions and your own ideas. That's not wise. It's not wise to be a hypocrite and live a lie in front of the church. It's not wise. Not wise. Amen. It's not wise to seek out your own will and your own desires. No, that's not wise. But Paul said, understanding what the will of the Lord is. You see, most people think that the will of the Lord is fulfilling their own will. Yeah. So they start doing all these unwise things and call it seeking God's will. We've had that problem before, huh? And it's all those unwise things they start doing, and they call it seeking God's will. Well, let me tell you, what they really mean is that they want God to do what they want, according to their thinking and according to their desires. Paul said to understand what the will of the Lord is. You ought to understand, you know, that the will of the Lord to a lot of people is really their will being done. You ever hear somebody say, oh, now that's the will of the Lord. That's the will of the Lord. You know why they said that? Because they agree with it 100%. I mean, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, oh, it's something they really like. Oh, that's the will of the Lord. Oh, now that's the will of the Lord. You ever heard that before? Yeah. Because why? Because it fits what you like. It fits your will. And you see, that's what most people think the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is, it matches what I want to do. It lines right up with my thinking. It lines right up with the thing I like. And that's the will of the Lord. Most people say, I'm just seeking for the will of the Lord. Means that what they're seeking for is hopefully that God's going to work it out the way they want it worked out. Have I got a witness here tonight? Hallelujah. That's what most people think the will of the Lord is. And so really what they're doing is They're trying to live out their own will and their own desires. And they're calling it the will of the Lord because we think the will of the Lord lines up with everything we're thinking. Everything we're hoping. You know, you got the will of the Lord for your life. How many of y'all got the will of the Lord for your life? Nobody raised their hand. That's good. Hallelujah. All right? But a lot of people have dreams. All right? And you see, the problem is that it may be your dream, but it may not be God's dream. And because your vision, your dream, what you desire, what you want, and it might be good, you think that's the will of the Lord. Because that's your dream and your vision. But everywhere I read in the Bible, God gave the dream. God gave the vision. Am I right? Hallelujah. It may not have been exactly what somebody had dreamed of their own self. Of exactly what they wanted to do. But let me tell you something here tonight. The will of the Lord hurts. The will of the Lord hurts. The will of the Lord most of the time is going to be against your will. It's not going to line up to your will. Amen. Most of the time it's going to be against your will. Because we think our will, we think God's will is according to our feelings. But God's will is not according to the way we feel about it. God's willing is not according to the way we feel. No, God's will is according to His Word, according to His plan. In most cases, God's will, it hurts, it goes against your will, and it goes against the way you're thinking. Amen. So many people are fighting the will of God. They've been fighting the will of God for years because they think the will of the Lord is according to the way they think. And they've been fighting God's will. I was just talking to somebody, and all they were telling me is what they don't want to do. Well, again, you got to think, is that maybe, you know, God's will may be for you to do that. Now, it's not sin, it's not rebellion. God, that's never the will of God. It's never the will of God for you to rebel against the man of God. It's never the will of God for you to leave without His blessing. It's never the will of God for you to live your own way and do your own. That's never the will of God. But that's the way, that's according to the way you feel. That's according to the way you think. Amen. That's not the will of God. The will of God will always support the man of God. If you think the man of God is wrong, you better pray. You better pray. And he's still a man, so if he is wrong, it's not your place to fix him. It's not your place to make an excuse to do what you want to do. It's not your place, amen, to say, well, it's the will of God to do this because he did that. No, no. And every time you rise up against the man of God, it's never the will of God. Amen. So that's why Paul said, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yeah, it's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some seeking God. It's going to take some getting rid of the way I think and the way I feel and my opinions and my ideas about things that may be contrary to the Word of God and contrary to what this man teaches. Hallelujah. That ain't the will of God. Your thinking ain't the will of God. Your opinions is not the will of God. What you're wanting to do is not the will of God. But because we feel like that the will of God has to line up to the way we feel, And that's why we say, oh, yeah, that's the will of God. People play around with it sometimes, you know. And somebody picks a place that they like to go eat best. Now, that's the will of God. See, now you see what I'm talking about, right? The will of God always seems to be what we like. Now you understand, huh, what I'm trying to say, hallelujah. But most of the time in life, amen, when God's trying to make a change in you, the will of God is going to be what you don't like. Because the will of God has to go against our will. Jesus fought that, didn't he? Amen. He was in agony. He was praying, and his sweat was like great drops of blood. He was agonizing. He was hurting. Amen. The Bible said he was oppressed. Praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass me. You don't think he was fighting with his will? The God's will? Talk about the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He was fighting. He said, if it be possible, is it possible that this cup will pass me? Is it possible? But you see, in a situation like that, if it's God's will for us to do almost the unthinkable, if it's God's will for us to do the thing that hurts and the thing that's painful, are we willing to pray like that until we get our will out the way? Are we willing to pray and seek God and get a hold of God? Amen. To get our will out the way and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes there needs to be some deep travailing prayer. And the Bible said God saw the travail of his soul and he was satisfied. Hallelujah. When was the last time God saw the travailing of your soul and was satisfied? That you prayed into his will. You prayed out of your will, out of your desires, out of your wants, and you prayed into his will, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because a lot of times people don't understand what the will of the Lord is because they relate it to what they like and what they want to do. But we got to understand the will of God is different. We got to say the will of God is different. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's always, most of the time it's going to be against the way you think and against the way you feel. When those feelings are of the flesh and those feelings are your own desire, the will of God's going to be against that. And Jesus in his own self knew he had to go to the cross. And, amen. He wouldn't take it from nobody else. When Peter said, these things shall never happen to you. Amen. He rebuked Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things of God, but the things of man. He wouldn't accept it from nobody else. But when he went to pray, amen, he was oppressed and he was agonizing. He was hurting. Because if it be possible, let this cup pass me. When he's saying, God, I don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can do it. Is it possible? Hallelujah. But you know what? He was strengthened. He saw the travail of his soul. And he, and you know what? And guess what happened? Guess what happened? He saw the joy. That agonizing, that sorrow, that pain, that oppression, it turned to joy. Because you know why? It said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm telling you, when you're in a time when you know you're fighting the will of God because of the way you feel and what you don't want to go through and what you don't want to do, amen, what the pastor counseled you and advised you to do, oh, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I want to do that. Amen. But you get down and you pray, you agonize, you cry out to God, you travail in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Until you can see the joy that's set before you. He'll turn that sorrow into joy. He'll turn that pain into joy. He'll turn that oppression into joy. He'll turn all that agonizing into sorrow. that's set before you. Hallelujah. You see, all things work together for the good, right? Amen. So you got to pray through till you see the joy in it. That's what Jesus did. Now, I know he's God manifested, if I'm talking about the man Christ Jesus. Didn't he pray? Amen. Didn't he pray, not my will, but thy will be done? Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, as a man and as a woman, there's times when we're going to have to fight so we can get a hold of God's will. Let me hurry here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. And move on to my subject here. But you see, all of this has got to take place if there's going to be a change in us. Because if we keep living like we want to live and we base the will of God upon our will, when we base the will of God upon what we like, we're not going to change. There's not going to be any change. We're going to be the same. Amen. Some of you are probably the same level in Christianity as you were when I was here last year. Now, revival may have hyped you up some. But, you know, we've had revival too, and our church is at a higher level. Amen. Right now. Praise God. Yeah, it is. But, you know, when I go back, I hope they haven't reverted back. But, you see, the thing is that, you see, there's got to be a change that takes place. And sometimes we reach a level in living for God to where that we base the will of God upon everything that we like and everything that we want. Amen. That there can never be a real change in us for us to go to a higher level in God. Amen. And so 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Intrinsic change is change from the inside out. Something must get inside of you to change you from the inside. It's got to get into your heart, your mind, your spirit. It's got to get into what is inside of you. Those are the things that must change. In order for those things to change, a substance, a virtue must get inside of you. Intrinsic change is change from the inside out. The substance and virtue is the word and spirit of God. The word of God is an incorruptible seed. Seeds are designed to go into the ground. The word of God, which is a seed, is designed to get into your heart. And when it does, you'll be born again. Hallelujah. Amen. Things have got to get born in us. When they're born in us, a change can take place. The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. The preaching and teaching of the word of God is designed to change you from the inside out. Amen. It's a seed. That's got to get inside. When that seed goes into the ground, it's watered. Hallelujah. Amen. Then something springs up. Fruit springs up. Plant springs up. Life springs up. When the seed, which is the word of God, is an incorruptible seed, when it gets inside of your heart, hallelujah, something's got to spring up. Life has got to spring up. When that seed gets into your heart, it takes the place of something in your heart that don't belong there. Hallelujah. Something is born in your heart. Because that's what the word of God is, a seed. And when it gets into your heart, hallelujah, amen, something's got to be born in you. And when it's born in you, hallelujah, amen, that means that there's life. Something born means that something has come alive. Amen. And we were dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. When we got baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, all of that old nature didn't go away. Amen. All of those things in our heart didn't go away. It takes the preaching of the word, a washing and cleansing by the word of God. Amen. Preaching is a washing. Preaching is a cleansing. Preaching is a purging. Preaching the word of God puts a seed down in you, an incorruptible seed that gets something born in you. Peter said, being born again. He's talking to the church. There's things that we got to be born again. Hallelujah. Got to be born in us. And when it is, it's going to change us from the inside out. Praise the Lord. The purpose of the church, the local assembly and its leadership, is to build people, to enhance talents and large desires, and create opportunities for people. We must be confidence builders. Jesus in his earthly ministry took people and made them reach heights that were incredible when considering their backgrounds. He drew them to their potential. Jesus worked on them from the inside out, understanding that if he concentrated on the heart and the mind of man, then the outward man would respond the correct way. You see, too often people are affected from the outside in. And that sets up failure. Extrinsic influence is influence from external sources. That's extrinsic change. That means you are influenced by what you see. That means you are influenced by your surroundings. This type of influence or motivation is usually temporary in endurance. That extrinsic change. Amen. We don't want people to pick up holiness standards just by observing what everybody else is wearing. That's extrinsic change. That's why it's got to be preached and taught from the pulpit. Because the word preached has got to get in your heart. And the Bible said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. The spoken word becomes life. When it's spoken, it becomes spirit and life. Preaching the word becomes spirit and life. And so that's why it's got to be preached, because it's got to be made spirit to get into your heart to bring life. You're not going to be saved by what you read. You're going to be saved by what's preached under you, because what's preached under you is the word made spirit. And that's the way it's written in your heart. You're not written with ink, no, but you're written how? By the Spirit of the living God. What's written in you is by the Spirit of the living God. How did the Spirit write it in you? When the Word of God's preached from this pulpit, it's made spirit. And so it can write it in your heart, and then it comes to life. The words I speak unto you are spirit and life. Hallelujah. And in order for you to change from the inside out, the preaching's got to get in you. The word, the seed's got to get in you. Not too many apostolics have extrinsic change. And that's why they don't last. That's why they don't endure. And sometimes it's enforced by fear or by pressure to go along with what is expected. Extrinsic change, which is usually forced upon someone, is against their will and can be illustrated by using the analogy of a bird in a cage. We tell everybody about our favorite little bird. And we tell how much our little bird loves us and how happy that little bird is. But when somebody leaves the cage door open, bye-bye, birdie. Why? Because when change is forced upon someone extrinsically, they will reject this bondage at the first opportunity. Extrinsic change means that you'll come to church dressed to standards, but out there you won't live them. That's extrinsic change. The seed ain't got in your heart yet. It hadn't been born in you yet. And people can be in church for years. They know the standards. I told people sometimes, I hate to run into you in the mall or somewhere. I hate to run into you in the store somewhere. I hate to run into you somewhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's extrinsic change. And then, ran into a lady one time, said, oh, I'm so embarrassed that you see me this way. Hallelujah. Ooh. If you go out hoping nobody sees you, then you ain't got it in your heart yet. There ain't no intrinsic change. You only got extrinsic change. Is this making sense tonight? Is this? Intrinsic change means that the Word of God got in you. It was born in you. Hallelujah. And now that's what you've become. Praise the Lord. Intrinsic influence, on the hand, is influence from internal sources. You're changed from internal sources. This type of influence is motivation, or motivation is usually permanent in duration. It's usually driven by desire, purpose, and commitment. Amen. When someone accomplishes something they themselves want to do, and God is in them and helps them to do it, it builds self-confidence. When they accomplish something because someone else expects them to do it, it builds insecurity. You got to do this because you want to do it. You got to do it because it's born in you. You just can't do it to please the pastor. You just can't do it to please your parents. You just can't do it to please your husband or please your wife. No, it's got to get in you. There's got to be an intrinsic change. Jesus is the creator of man, isn't he? So he knows man from the inside out. That's why God knows that unless the change is intrinsic, it's going to be of no real value. So how have you changed? Have you changed because of extrinsic change? Or have you changed because of intrinsic change? Have you changed extrinsically? Because you know what the church teaches, you know what the pastor teaches, and so you better line up to it? Or have you changed because the Word of God has got in your heart, and the change is from the inside out? Extrinsic change is temporary. You're not going to endure. You're not going to last. Something's going to get you. Hallelujah. But when you come hungry for the Word of God, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. When you come hungry and thirsty, when you come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, when you have broken up the fallow ground of your heart, hallelujah, then the seed, the Word of God, can get inside. That's why you need to be here for prayer before service, because you need to break up the fallow ground so the seed can fall in, hallelujah, and cause an intrinsic change. Hallelujah. 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 You know, that this is real. Amen. This is real. The Word of God preaching is real. Amen. You know, this is not an educational class. Educational class teaches to the mind. Preaching preaches to the heart. Y'all get that? You're not in school class. You're not in college. You're not in an educational class. You're in the house of the living God, where the spirits of just men are made perfect. How? By the preaching of the Word of God that gets into the heart and not just the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. You gotta bring your heart to church. You gotta get your heart in church, because the preaching is to the heart, that the Spirit of God may write His Word on your heart, that the seed may fall on the good ground of your heart, and when it gets in there, hallelujah, there can be an intrinsic change. Hallelujah. No, I'm not going to do that. Amen. That's not what the pastor preaches. I got that Word in my heart. You're going to stand strong. You're going to stand firm. Hallelujah. And you're not going to follow the crowd. You're not going to follow the crowd. You're not going to follow your peers. No, you've got a change inside of you taking place. You've got an intrinsic change by the Word of God. Hey, what Brother Garza has preached, it's in my heart. No, I'm not going to rebel. No, I'm not going to wear shorts. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not. Why? It's in my heart. I'm not going to trim my hair. I'm not going to dye my hair. I'm not going to. No, it's in my heart. Hallelujah. The crowd can tempt you. The crowd can persuade you. Your peers and your friends wanting to please them. That's extrinsic change. You're trying to please the crowd and please everybody else. No. Get this thing down deep in your heart so you can please God. This thing can be an intrinsic change. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, come on, let's lift up our voices right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody want an intrinsic change tonight? Anybody want to let God change you? Amen. These altars are open right now. Come on, let's come and build up. Let's come and build up ourselves. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's seek the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Get this word in your heart. Get this truth in your heart.